Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Just be honest. You like it when your bracket looks like a dumpster fire. You love sending me gifts of dumpster fires. Be honest. It's more fun when you have red marks all over your bracket. Nobody actually wants a perfect bracket. Come on. Actually, if it was a perfect bracket, that would be a phenomenon. But since we're not going to have a perfect bracket, definitely not in our bracket challenge, judging by the calls and tweets I've gotten about how you actually fill out your brackets, I'm thinking that we will be closer to having all the games wrong than we will be to having all the games right. It's more fun when our brackets are awful. So just go in with that expectation that you're going to lose money and that your bracket is going to look like... What's a good analogy with red? I need to think of one. I used to grade my mom's papers. So my mom's a math teacher, and I used to grade papers for her, even for my class. Don't tell anyone that. But I'm thinking about all the red marks that I used to get to put all over the paper when I was grading other people's work. And so that's what it reminds me of when I look at brackets. But I need a better... Need a better red analogy. Like Santa Claus threw up. Would he throw up red? Probably not. Like, I don't know. I need a good, if you have a good analogy for what the bracket looks like when it's all covered with red lines and red marks, you can let me know. But our Twizzler Tuesday question is, what's your best method for the madness? How do you fill out your brackets? Come on, don't be so cryptic and secret about it. We're not going to steal your methods. And even if we do, it will still be your methods. So what's the method to your madness? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So, of course, the men's tournament tips off Tuesday night with the first four. You've got a pair of 16 seeds, Fairleigh Dickinson and Prairie View, for the right to battle against Gonzaga in the next round. And then we also have Belmont and Temple, two of the last four teams that made it into the field. They're 11 seeds, but they will have the right to move on as well into the big bracket. So right now they're at the kids' table, and they would like to graduate to the adult table at Thanksgiving. So that it begins in earnest tonight. As for the women, they now have their field of 64. They don't have an equivalent to Dayton, but they do have the field of 64. And it was a bit jarring to see the UConn women as a 2 seed. For the first time since 2006, do you know they've made 11 consecutive Final Fours? That's just gross. It's gaudy and it's gross. No, it's great. I mean fat like P-H-A-T. That's what I mean. So gross is not meant to be a negative. Just whoa. Almost impossible. And yet they've lost in overtime in the last two Final Fours. And that's a tribute to the Huskies, actually. Follow me here. They were so dominant in winning four consecutive titles from 2013 to 2016 that the rest of college basketball had to get better or go home. Just get better or stay irrelevant. And it's a tribute to both the Huskies, but as well as to the other coaches and the programs in women's basketball that they rose to the challenge. And now for the first time since 2006, Gino Auriemma's team is actually looking up at another team in the region. So in the Albany region, it's Louisville as the number one seed, which incidentally is one of the teams that UConn lost to this year.
I don't think it matters one way or the other, you know. We've lost national championships being a number one seed. And we've won national championships being a 2 or 3 seed, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't think it matters one way or the other. I mean, we did lose 2 games. I'm surprised we're a number 2. I mean, I thought we'd be like a 4 or 5.
Drop.
Yeah, I mean, we're not in one of those conferences that perennially wins women's basketball national championship, so you can't be expected to lose two games and, you know, not dropped. I'm just happy they kept us at two instead of four.
Oh, Gino Auriemma with his over-exaggerations. I mean, he's right. They did run roughshod over the AAC, the American Athletic Conference. Of course, that's just a byproduct of the Big East splitting up. And so they did lose twice, but the only two losses this year were on the road at top seeds. One of them being Louisville, the other being Baylor, who's the overall number one. You also have the defending champ Notre Dame, who's a one seed, and Mississippi State. If you're looking for a hard luck team to root for, Mississippi State might be the one. Last 2 years, they've lost in the national championship game, and so they're still searching for that first title in program history in women's college hoops. But you do have the UConn women as a two seed, and Gino Auriemma, of course, is going to blow that off. But it was different. It was, I think, unexpected. According to most of the analysts, it was because Mississippi State had surged toward the end of the year and in the conference tournament in the SEC. And so it wasn't really about what UConn didn't do. It was about what Mississippi State did do. But that, to me, speaks to a wide-open field. And again, it's a tribute. It's like the Warriors in the NBA. You have to beat the best if you want to be the best. Everybody else has had to get better. It's like Tiger Woods in his heyday in golf. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. And now you have a bunch of younger golfers who grew up wanting to be Tiger Woods. So it's good for the sport. It's good for competition. It's good for parity. But of course, it makes life a whole lot harder for teams like UConn and Golden State. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Speaking of Golden State, don't look now, but they've got company atop the West. So the Warriors have clinched a playoff spot, but you know what? So have the Denver Nuggets. For the first time since 2013, the Nuggets are in the postseason. And this is still with a couple weeks left in the regular season. But they win in Boston on the night that Isaiah Thomas finally gets his tribute video inside TD Garden. And because of the Golden State loss at San Antonio, the Warriors and the Nuggets are now tied with the best record in the West. But putting that aside for a second, because we still have a way to go in the regular season, pretty awesome for Coach Mike Malone and the Denver Nuggets. After what they've been through, the transition in that franchise, to finally get there. You remember last year? They were still alive for a playoff spot until the last day of the regular season, and they lost in overtime to the Minnesota Timberwolves and fell short.
Oh, it's a great feeling. You know, 4 years in the making, 2 years in a row coming up just shy, one game short. Using that as a motivation for tonight's moment. So happy for all of our guys. Put a lot of time and work into this, but we still have a lot of work to do. You know, we're not satisfied with just making the playoffs. I think we realized early on in the season we had a chance to be a special team, and that remains the case. So, you know, let's continue to fight, try to win as many games as we can, and see where we wind up.
If you haven't seen the locker room celebration, the visiting locker room in Boston last night, Coach Malone and the rest of the Nuggets doing some crazy impromptu dance. I mean, it's like your worst relatives. It's awesome. And they're flinging water all over the place. And so they've clinched a playoff spot, but could still very well have the top seed in the West, depending on how far the Golden State Warriors slide. They had Andrew Bogut in their starting lineup last night. This is kind of funny. Steve Kerr said he told Bogut he was starting, and Bogut laughed at him, thought he was joking, like that he was playing a practical joke on him. So he did start. No Boogie Cousins. Kevin Durant is back, which is good. Steph Curry had a slow start, despite the 61-foot three-pointer he hit at the end of the first quarter. I didn't measure it. Someone else did. And so the Warriors just have been inconsistent, and they ran into a red-hot Spurs team that now has nine straight wins. So the West is turning wild right on cue. Only six games separate the top six teams in the Western Conference, and it's been pretty amazing to watch. So still a lot yet to be decided in the NBA and in the NHL. Got a couple of playoff teams in both sports, but here we are just a couple weeks away from the postseason beginning in both the ice and the court, and still pretty much a crapshoot. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. A milestone moment in the NBA that we'll get to coming up in 10 minutes. But a couple of baseball storylines, too, that caught my attention. Gio Gonzalez, who was a free agent. Now, there are a lot of free agents out there that are still available. He actually gets signed to a minor league contract by the New York Yankees. Now, weirdly enough, they're close. Every team is close to breaking camp, right? So we're inside of 2 weeks before opening day in Major League Baseball. But the Yankees have just run into some big-time injuries to their pitching rotation. So Luis Severino is out for at least the first month of the season. There's a lot of speculation that he could be out for longer. Just depends on how quickly he recovers from his shoulder injury. Or shoulder or elbow? Is it shoulder? Or elbow. It's bad. Okay. So they're trying to determine shoulder. I always go with your first answer. They're trying to determine whether or not he's going to need surgery, hoping not. But for now, at least they've put him on the shelf for the month of April. CC Sabathia is also out for the first couple of weeks. So now you're down two starters and one of them who is supposed to be your de facto ace. And so the Yankees sign Gio Gonzalez to a minor league contract just to kind of see where he is and how quickly he can get up to speed. But if he does make the major league roster, he would end up making $3 million. So it's odd, right? Gio Gonzalez. I mean, this is a part of that vaunted Nationals rotation for years. And to think about him now on a minor league deal, though, with the openings on the, you know, on the pitching rotation, the pitching staff for the Yankees, you would expect that he could earn his way there. But John Smoltz, I thought his reaction on MLB Network was interesting.
I think it's great for the Yankees. I'd be scratching my head if I'm Gio. I mean, you know, the fact that there's a pretty good resume. He's a qualified, bona fide starter that's going to help any team. And, okay, so you have a little reduction in the amount of innings you're going to pitch through the year. But I think for the Yankees, they have an opportunity to have some more resources to be able to utilize while their injuries are out.
It's better to have these injuries early and you don't freak out too much about the early season injuries in April and May. But still, you can put yourself in enough of a hole that you make life really difficult to have to climb out of it. So for Gio Gonzalez, I hope that he ends up making that Major League roster and gets paid. Another piece of news from Major League Baseball. Now, take this with a grain of salt. Again, we're still a couple of weeks away, and this could be Dave Roberts tried to, I mean, whatever. I don't know if there's much gamesmanship in Major League Baseball at this point, but maybe he wants to keep his cards as close to the vest as possible. But he's indicated that it won't be Clayton Kershaw who's out there on the mound for the Dodgers to start the season.
Just kind of in talking to Clayton and obviously looking at the schedule, he's not going to start opening day. So to kind of build him up, and when he's ready to pitch for us is when he'll pitch for us.
That's my favorite of all the audio I heard on Monday. When he's ready to pitch for us, he'll be ready to pitch for us. Awesome. Good to know. Thank you so much, Skip. Now, this is interesting because over the weekend, I don't know if you guys saw this, but he pitched a bullpen session. And when he got done throwing, everybody was all smiles. It appeared as though he had made some progress. And as recently as over the weekend, he was able to get through a bullpen session without any problems. The issue has been shoulder inflammation, and obviously they want to be really careful with him. He hasn't even pitched in a spring training game. And, coinky dink, his birthday is today. So happy birthday to Clayton Kershaw. He turns 31. I feel like he's been around for decades. But yeah, happy birthday to Clayton. He's I guess, not going to extend his record to 9 consecutive opening day starts for the Dodgers. But you'd rather have him healthy for the bulk of the season, even if it means he misses the beginning. That's interesting. I didn't actually know it was his birthday until just like 2 minutes ago, and I happened to see it. So that was one of those things that I didn't plan, and it just worked out so perfectly. All right, coming up, milestone moment in the NBA and the methods to your madness. How do you fill out your brackets? And it's okay if you use a dartboard. Oh, and I saw this tweet that I have to pass along because I was searching for the proper metaphor for our brackets once they're all marked up with red ink. And Brandon says on Twitter, my bracket always looks like a crime scene. Boom. That's exactly what I was going for. And then I got another tweet that says, yes, the bracket is bleeding. So there you go. That's blood is the proper analogy for your March Madness brackets. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Doncic at the top of the arc will drop it to Dirk straight away. Against Williams, rise and fire! There it is! A revolutionary passes a revolutionary. 31,420 points in the magnificent career of Dirk Nowitzki.
Amazing, obviously. It's been a long time coming this season, you know. Knowing before the year, that was only 200-something points, and then there were times where I thought I'm not going to make it, you know, the way the season went, and with the injury, and then coming off the injury, it was just super, super slow, and but, you know, the last few weeks felt better, and been playing better, and the team obviously kept looking for me, kept telling me to shoot, so I'm glad it's over with now.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm really glad it happened in Dallas, where the fans could celebrate yet another milestone for Dirk Nowitzki. The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a closer look at this accomplishment for Dirk, who's the one who got it done. 21st season, and he passes Wilt Chamberlain to move into sixth on the NBA's all-time scoring list. Now, as you know, LeBron James has been working his way up that scoring list, past Wilt, past Jordan. He's now fourth. And Dirk Nowitzki took a little longer than maybe he anticipated, but he's now at 31,424 points. And he hasn't officially confirmed this will be his final season, but the Dirk farewell tour continues just in case. And it's been really neat to see him handle it with class and to soak it all in, even without the jersey exchange that Dwayne Wade has done at every stop. Dirk has been celebrated and serenaded and honored, and he should. I mean, sheer longevity, but also think about the impact he's made on the sport, but also on the international aspect of the NBA. So congratulations to Dirk Nowitzki. The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you could save money, switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at Geico.com. Our Twizzler Tuesday question, what's the method to your madness? How do you fill out your brackets? And yes, it's perfectly acceptable if you guess on every single game. 855-212-4227. Trey is listening. Oh, no, Cole is listening in Georgia. Cole, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Chris just had a happy trigger finger. Poor Cole. Cole was like, shh. And Chris just reached out and dumped him right off the air. Poor guy. He was trying to get his thoughts together. It's too early in the morning for a guy in Georgia to be swearing. He didn't. Chris freaks out. He thinks his job is on the line every time somebody accidentally says a word that rhymes with any type of four-letter word. Meanwhile, Dave is like 2 feet away and didn't even move. The two differing personalities that I work with behind the double pane glass. Chris, you owe Cole an apology. Trey is listening in North Carolina. Trey, do not say shh, because my producer will think you're about to swear on the air.
Yeah. Miss Amy, thanks for taking our phone call here.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Miss Amy, we got a method of playing our, you know, doing the brackets.
Yes.
Yeah, it's done by what we do, believe it or not, we roll the dice, and it keeps coming up.
Come on.
No, for real. Come on now, Miss Amy. Yes, ma'am. Comes up. I'm not kidding you now. Gonzaga and Duke be coming up. We got family in town. Mr. Zaslow, Romberg, and Amber out of 790 rolls, slim and keeps hitting the Tobin.
Wait, what do you think of that? You rolled the dice 790 times?
We, in, out of 790 rolls, Mr. Zaslow, Romberg, and Amber, out of 790 rolls, keep coming up again.
Zaslow. I mean, I just am, I'm stunned that you have so much time on your hands, but thank you for that. Just, we're not taking any more calls because between Chris and I, poor Chris, he's in there shaking his head like this is never happening again. I would like to remind you that you're the one who answers the phone. That's all.
That is very true.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so the madness is very much a reality on the show this morning. Oh, my gosh. I between me calling Bird Box Bird Bath, I think that just kind of set everything off. It's really the same difference. So I'm not giving out the phone number again. You'll have to look it up in the phone book if you really want to call the show that badly. Brad Heller's here in studio. Brad, are you one of the 47 million people who will fill out 149 million March Madness brackets?
I'm filling out all 149 million myself.
You also have way too much time.
Every
on your
possible
hands.
Combination. I actually just do one, only one.
Okay, so how do you do it? What's the method? Don't tell me you research unless you do, fine.
Well, I mean, I think by nature we work in the business, so research is just kind of part of the deal, right?
Do you know that research is counterproductive to actually winning the bracket? The more you research, the less chance you have of winning.
I understand, but, you know, in that case, I would maybe do two. I would do one where I'd maybe go with my heart, go with my alma mater for a little bit, and then
for
one where
bit.
I'd do a little more. Yeah.
How long are we going with our alma mater? I'm not real super confident in which our alma mater happens to be the same thing. So I'm not real confident. How confident are you?
Zero. Zero confidence. But when Syracuse gives you zero confidence, that's when they can make a run. So it's true.
So did you? That's that is true. Actually,
so maybe you, I would definitely pick them to beat Baylor. I mean, I don't think they're going to beat Gonzaga. They're not good enough. But if they did beat Gonzaga, would it surprise me? No. Does that answer your question?
Yes. I don't think anything really surprises me anymore. I think that would surprise me only because it would be the second time that Gonzaga made it to the Sweet 16 last year, so I would expect them to be.
Syracuse beat Gonzaga a couple years ago on the way to the Final Four.
Boom! I was there. That was the best sporting event, not because of Syracuse, but the best sporting event I've ever seen in person was Houston with the Villanova shot at the buzzer. That was phenomenal. Wait, were you there?
No.
I was going to say. I don't recall.
I was not there.
But it was awesome. Right off the corner of the court, and that shot was coming right at me. And so I could see it. It was online.
The Villanova, North Carolina, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh.
The championship. That was amazing. And I got hit with flying seat cushions from the upper deck because the place just, it was silent and then it went crazy and people were throwing the seat cushions that were.
Was that what made it the unforgettable experience was the things flying?
Well, I did get hit by several, but yes, but no, the noise. Just, it was like time was suspended until the ball went through the hoop. And of course the buzzer sounded and the place just erupted. 80 something thousand people. It was.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was really cool to be there. Anyway, so yeah, this is one of my favorite times of the year, but I generally guess. I mean, I do research and then I think that's dumb. My research is not going to hold out.
I mean, I'm not going to look into like, you know, the UC Irvine Anteaters and who their best player is.
Mascots are a good way to go.
Yeah, that's one way to do it.
We do a family bracket challenge. None of my family knows anything about basketball except for me, and I lose every time.
Well, that's why everybody gets into it. That's why everybody gets into it, because you don't have to know anything. And the less you know, the better you are.
Exactly. But, right there. That's the key. The less you know, the more that you have a chance
to
win.
But if you already know stuff because you follow the sport, it's not like, well, I'm going to ignore all that.
You should.
Know?
I mean, what do you know, really?
I know that Oregon won 4 games in 4 days at the Pac-12 tournament.
There you go. Pick Oregon.
That might be the one that I pick. But then again, everybody's picking them, so then maybe I won't.
Oh, you're a contrarian with your picks.
Just that one, maybe.
Oh, I am always. If everyone else is picking Duke, I'm not picking Duke this year. I don't know who I will pick, but it's not going to be Duke. I like to do the
opposite.
It's
more fun, though, if Duke's still in it, though, because there's so much fun to watch.
No, it is, for sure. All right, you can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Don't forget the After Hours Bracket Challenge. That's pinned to the top of our Twitter page and our Facebook page. However you fill them out, even if you stink, it's still fun.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good morning to you on a Tuesday. It's a Twizzler Tuesday. That will make any day better. As will filling out your bracket. There's an extra excitement in the air. Electricity. I can feel it. And I found a couple of your metaphors on Facebook for what our brackets look like when they're marked up with red ink. Peter says, your bracket will be as red as a Game of Thrones wedding. Now, I do not watch Game of Thrones. I feel like it's one of those that I'll binge at some point in my life. But right now, I haven't watched it ever. But many of my friends do, especially my guy friends. They love it. So that will appeal to them, Peter. Thank you. And then Phil says, the analogy for your red bracket, hit with lipstick from a hot glove box. I don't know how Phil knows about lipstick in a hot glove box, but it's cool. Maybe his girlfriend or wife or daughter left it in there. I will say sometimes, so I'm a chapstick person. If I was stranded on a desert island and could only have one toiletry, it would have to be chapstick because I fall apart when I have chapped lips. I can't deal. In fact, I don't think it's happened yet since Chris was the producer, but a couple of times during Tom's tenure as my producer, I got in studio, realized I did not have my chapstick, and he actually went out and bought some and kept a stash for me because he knows I fall apart without my chapstick. So have you ever left it in a hot car? I've done that before. And then I make the mistake of taking it out and trying to put it on your lips and it like smears all over your face. So, okay. So I guess I can buy the lipstick analogy. Are you so glad I shared that with you? The two of you are looking at me like I'm from outer space. Yes. I mean, you're both related to females. I know, well, you know what? The world doesn't know whether or not you have a girlfriend, Chris, so we'll just say you do. Dave is married. You both, like, this is not a foreign concept, is it? You can use chapstick, too. You big fakers. What are you doing in there? Why are you being so quiet?
I'm not a chapstick kind of guy.
I mean, you have seven children. None of them use chapstick?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
I've never experienced the
how is that possible?
Chapstick in the car situation. I don't know.
Well, just for you, I'm going to find a way to stick some in your car and then you can. You haven't lived unless you've smeared it all over your face. Chris, you're not a chapstick person either?
No, but my ex-girlfriend was a big proponent of the Burt's Bees chapstick. She used to use it all. And look at that.
It was a birthday gift last year. Someone gave me a Burt's Bees.
For those listening at home, Amy is currently holding up her Burt's Bees chapstick.
I am. Now, I go through it pretty quickly. I have them everywhere. Pretty much every room of the house, in the vehicle, until the summertime, in my bag, in the pocket of my hoodie. I keep them. I find them, too. I just try to find them before they go in the washer. 855-212-4227. Though they can survive the washer. I'm not sure what that says about chapstick, but they do survive their washer. They're just obviously wet. Let's talk. I'm afraid to take any more calls. Joe is in Michigan. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Amy.
Good
morning.
Thank
you for taking my call.
Please don't say shh or start to troll me because we're going to have to dump you and we're on a roll this morning.
Okay, so.
Okay.
Okay, my bracket is completely red. Like, the whole sheet's red.
And already?
That's probably because of the anger that has settled in because of the placement that Michigan State received.
Oh.
And it's not so much about the number two seed is okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of the region they got placed in with that Zion bloke. And there's no possible logical explanation.
No, there is.
From the committee.
There is. I can tell you what it is. It's difficult to explain, but here's I'll try to simplify it. The reason Michigan State actually did leapfrog Kentucky. So in the rankings that the committee puts out of teams 1 through 16, by winning the Big Ten tournament, Michigan State ended up as a higher two seed than Kentucky. So when the committee chair said they leapfrogged the Wildcats, he was being accurate. What happens is every team in Division I, that's every single 350-something teams in Division I, before the season tips off, way back in October, they all fill out it's probably an email, but they tell you which region and site would be their first choice. So every team does that. And then, now it doesn't always work out that you get your first choice, but if you are a higher one seed, in this case Duke, or a higher two seed, in the case of Michigan State, they will give you your preference of which site you play at, which pod you end up at. And so that's why Michigan State ended up in the East region, because whatever site they picked, whatever they put down as their preference geographically at the beginning of the year, that was their first choice, which meant they ended up in the same bracket as Duke. So believe it or not, they are, if I'm not mistaken, they're the highest two seed.
Okay, I guess I did not... Yeah. I have not heard it explained that way yet.
Yeah, well, and Jerry Palm probably... just explained it to me, because I asked the same question. Why is Michigan State in the bracket with the overall number one? Because I thought that they snaked. So I thought that the top overall number one would be in the same bracket as the worst number two. So essentially the number eight team. But he said, no, it's actually based on geography and it's based on their choices. So their preferences. And as a higher two seed, Michigan State had preferences. So they try to get them close, right? So you don't always get your first choice. But if the higher the seed you have, the closer you get to your geographical location.
Okay. Thank you for that perspective. I have not heard it put that way. And the one thing, I guess, the other thing that I heard suggested was that maybe the Big Ten should move their championship game to Saturday. Which I find, I don't know.
Are you saying then because you don't think the championship mattered?
Right.
No, that's also not accurate. Again, I'll just tell you what Jerry spit out, because I asked him all, you know, similar questions. The committee, and actually they mentioned this too, the committee chair Bernard Muir, when he did his interviews, they filled out 12 brackets on Sunday, all possible contingencies. If Tennessee had won the SEC championship on Sunday, the Volunteers would be a one seed. And so they were waiting to see how those last titles play out. And again, I just told you, Michigan State leapfrogged Kentucky by winning the Big Ten. So they were waiting to find out how those last couple games would go.
But to do what? Switch Michigan and Michigan State? I mean, there's
no
just,
to again to get to have Michigan State be higher ranked than the Wildcats, than Kentucky, who was out in the semifinals of the SEC. I know it may not make sense to you, but that's the procedure.
I know. And it's tough to wrap your head around everything. But the Tennessee staying ahead of Michigan State is a tough one to swallow too, just because they got embarrassed so bad on Sunday. I mean, it was awful. I mean, that wasn't basketball, Amy.
Oh, come on. Stop it. Every team can get blown out at any time. It happens. And it's a body of work. It's not just one game or the last thing you see. So I'm glad I'm not on the committee. That's as best as I can explain it. And if you missed the conversation with Jerry Palm, he talked about a lot of this. It's on our podcast. So there is a misconception, and he set me straight. So I hope that helps you.
Okay, well, thanks, Amy. The one thing I'll say
also, you sound like you're really afraid of Duke. I mean, how about be confident in Tom Izzo and the Spartans?
Well, I and that's what I was going to get to. With all that said, I do believe that State, you know, they're playing with some grit this year, a different you kind of get an intuitive sense of how these kids are when you watch them every game. Last year, they seemed like a passive group. This year, they seem like they're playing with a little more grit and passion, real tough defense. I think Xavier Tillman can be the X factor against Duke, just because he can guard multiple positions. This guy brings such a defensive presence for Michigan State. He's a mm-hmm. sophomore, and I really think he can be the X factor to get him through against Duke.
He is the prototypical Tom Izzo guy.
Or just, you know, make him shoot threes all night long and hope they miss. I don't know.
That's not a good strategy. Actually, the best strategy would be to try to corral Zion Williamson and keep him away from the basket and the rebounds as much as possible. Joe, thank you so much for your phone call in Michigan. I know you may not like the answer, but I've said it over and over again. I asked Jerry Palm the same question. Why did Bernard Muir, the committee chair, say that Michigan State leapfrogged Kentucky and yet they ended up in the same region as the overall number one seed? But he said they do not snake. It's all about preference. It's about where Michigan State wanted to play, or as close to where they wanted to play. And so it may not feel like it's an advantage for Michigan State to be a higher two seed, but by winning the Big Ten championship, in fact, the Spartans are a higher two seed than Michigan or Kentucky. Tennessee was the highest two seed. If that makes sense. It's a convoluted process, to be sure. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. This is fun to tack on at the end of the show. Blake Bortles found work. Woo! I'm excited. I asked you the question last week. Does Blake Bortles find the new job? And you said you weren't sure, but maybe you thought he would be a backup. Well, if you're going to trade jobs to go from Jacksonville, where it was an abysmal season, to the Rams, now it's difficult to duplicate, for sure. They have their work cut out for them in getting to the Super Bowl last year and the locker room and the roster that they've put together in Los Angeles. They're going to be a target. But Blake Bortles, one-year deal, opportunity to maybe earn himself another deal. You never know what happens. A lot of teams need multiple quarterbacks to get through a season. We know because we count them every year. Or I do. I do. Count the number of teams every year that use multiple quarterbacks. And generally, it's about two-thirds of the NFL. So good to be on a team that's a winner right away. So Bortles with a one-year deal. And the Rams put out this big tweet. They're celebrating his arrival. And then Vontaze Burfict. Did you guys see this story? He actually got cut by the Cincinnati Bengals, which is a big deal. The Bengals, at least in the Marvin Lewis era, didn't part ways with guys, even if they were edgy and aggressive and often troublemakers on the field. But Zach Taylor released a statement, so it's specific to their new head coach, released a statement saying, "We felt it best to give the team and Vontaze a fresh start." And so he says, "We're trying to build our roster moving forward, and this is what we decided to do." And you can understand why. Maybe he's worn out his welcome. Suspended by the league to start 16, 17, 18. He's been in the doghouse a bunch of times. He's over-aggressive. He's been fined more than any other player since 2012. But he's available if your team needs a linebacker to set a tone for the rest of your defense. All right, what's the method to your madness? Don't forget to fill out your brackets because it's coming soon. We're back tonight after Dayton. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.